Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, February 10th, 2026. Starting with the front page of the commercial news, the first story today is titled Celebrate Black History Month with the 60th Lincoln Douglas King Banquet. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. Celebrate Black History Month with the 60th Annual Lincoln Douglas King Banquet at the Allen Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church of Danville later this month with a local political candidate. Mary Catherine Roberson serves as speaker for the program that begins at 5 p.m. on February 21st. Roberson is running for the spot Robin Kelly, U.S. Congresswoman for the 2nd Congressional District in Illinois, holds. Roberson currently serves as Kelly's Director of Constituent Services. Andreas Coleman will be honored with the Allen Chapel's Community Service Award for his volunteerism with programs that focus on structure and discipline to help youth become positive young adults. Giselle or Jill Mockbee, owner of Dis and Dat Beauty Supplies, will be honored with the Business Award. Mockbee opened her business in 1999 to serve women who have suffered hair loss through alopecia or cancer after her own alopecia diagnosis. Serenity Reed will receive the first Outstanding Youth Award given by Allen Chapel. She was selected for her extensive involvement in church, school, and the Danville community. Started by Elder Richard D. Smith of the 4th District Illinois Annual Conference of the AME Church in 1965 at Allen Chapel AME Church in Danville, the event is to commemorate the civil rights contributions at that time of President Abraham Lincoln and abolitionist Frederick Douglass. In 1988, the name of the banquet changed to reflect the teachings of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. For tickets, contact LDK Banquet Chair Alita Randall, Sandra Finch, or Virginia McKinney at 217-446-5639. The Allen Chapel AME Church is located at 503 North Jackson Street in Danville. Our next page one story is titled Pritzker Backs Longtime Political Ally Margaret Croak for Comptroller. And this is by Ben Selinsky from Capital News, Illinois. Governor J.B. Pritzker is backing one of his longtime State House allies, Representative Margaret Croak, to be Illinois' next comptroller. Croak has represented an Illinois House district on Chicago's north side since 2021, but her relationship with Pritzker dates back to 2017, when she helped lead Pritzker's first campaign for governor. In a statement Monday, Pritzker said Croak has always been committed to responsible fiscal management. Whether it's advocating for job creation, reproductive rights, or the expansion of child care, Margaret knows how to get things done, Pritzker said. At a time when the Trump administration is playing politics with federal funding, we need a comptroller who will not shy away from a fight and will lead with transparency and efficiency. Croak has chased Pritzker's endorsement since entering the race to succeed Comptroller Susana Mendoza and told Capital News Illinois in October, "He's the guy I look up to. Every day, he stands up for Illinoisans and fights back against the Trump administration, and I'm proud that he believes I am the best person to serve as comptroller in this critical moment," Croak said in a statement Monday. Croak received Pritzker's financial support in past campaigns for state representative, and Pritzker's endorsement could open the door to more financial help from the billionaire governor ahead of the March 17th primary. Croak is already the top fundraiser in the comptroller primary and is also backed by the influential Cook County Democratic Party. Before joining the General Assembly, Croak was a deputy director at the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, where she oversaw legislative affairs for the state's Economic Development Office. As a state representative, Croak chairs the House Financial Institutions and Licensing Committee and has been a key voice on budget issues in the House. On the political side, Croak led outreach to women voters throughout Illinois during Pritzker's 2018 campaign and was a member of his transition team following his election. She also is currently a board member of Think Big America, Pritzker's political action committee that supports pro-abortion ballot measures and candidates throughout the country. Croak is facing off against two fellow state lawmakers, Senator Karina Villa, a Democrat from West Chicago, and Representative Stephanie Kifwit, Democrat from Oswego, as well as Lake County Treasurer Holly Kim. And our final story from the front page of the commercial news today is titled Analysts, Impact of Trump Endorsements in Indiana Primary Races Uncertain. And this story is by Carson Gerber from CNHI State Reporters. Indianapolis. President Donald Trump promised he would do it. He delivered. Now, will it matter? That's the question looming over the state Senate races in which Trump has thrown his support behind primary challengers now running against those who voted against his redistricting plan. During his months-long pressure campaign to redraw Indiana's congressional map to further favor Republicans, the president threatened political retribution in the primaries for any GOP legislator who stepped out of line. In the end, 21 Republican senators ignored those threats and joined Democrats to derail the effort. 10 of those seats are up for election in this year's midterms, with incumbent senators who voted against redistricting running in 8 of those districts. 2 senators have announced they will not seek re-election. The filing deadline to run for office ended at noon on Friday. The president has so far issued endorsements on his Truth Social platform for 5 state Senate challengers. Those candidates range from virtually unknown city and county elected officials to sitting state legislators. In the endorsement posts, Trump also blasted each state senator who voted to foil his gerrymandering plan as pathetic, rhinos, Republican in name only, and America last politicians. One of those is Spencer Deary, a one-term Republican senator from West Lafayette, who, due to his opposition to redistricting, was the victim of a swatting attempt in which someone falsely reported to police a domestic abuse incident at his home. Despite what the president claims, Deary said in an email, that he has one of the most conservative voting records in the Senate and a proven record of passing meaningful legislation that advances the conservative movement. Now, Deary is facing off against Paula Copenhaver, a top aide to Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith and the Fountain County Republican chair. Trump backed Copenhaver in late January, calling her a MAGA warrior. She responded in a Facebook post that she was humbled and honored to earn the endorsement. But will it be enough to unseat Deary a well-connected Republican who once worked at Purdue University for former college president and Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels? I guess we're about to find out how much a Trump tweet is worth, said Michael O'Brien, a longtime Republican strategist and Daniels' former chief of staff. It's unprecedented for a president to issue endorsements in down-ballot state primary races, noted Chad Kinsella, a political scientist and director of Ball State University's Bowen Center for Public Affairs. But that high-profile support won't do much good if no one has heard of the candidate, he argued. Those primary contenders will face a steep climb to gain enough name recognition with voters, who usually cast ballots for people with whom they're familiar, Kinsella said. It's going to take a lot of pounding of the pavement and knocking on doors and a lot of money spent on advertising, Kinsella said. It's really hard to get rid of an incumbent, even with President Trump's endorsement. That's the challenge facing candidates like Blake Fichter, a Bluffton City councilman facing off against incumbent Travis Holdeman, who is an 18-year state Senate veteran. Fichter received Trump's endorsement before he even decided to run for the office. Others, like Tracy Powell, a Tipton County commissioner, are challenging deep-rooted candidates like Jim Buck, who has served in the state legislature since 1994. Representative Michelle Davis marks the one candidate challenging a sitting senator who enters the race with real name recognition. Davis has served in the Indiana House since 2020 and is taking on Senator Greg Walker, who has held his seat for two decades. Davis leaned into her endorsement for Trump and criticized Walker for voting with Democrats. For too long, conservatives have watched Republicans in Indianapolis cave at the moment of truth, and President Trump made clear that's not acceptable, she wrote in an email to CNHI. For some diehard Trump supporters, the president's social media endorsements will be enough to cast a ballot against an incumbent. But for most primary voters, a candidate's name and voting record will still take precedence, explained Elizabeth Bennion, a political scientist and director at the American Democracy Project at Indiana University South Bend. I just think that endorsements are loud, but governing records and regional coalitions are durable and important, she said. That's especially true considering senators who voted against redistricting said they did so explicitly because their constituents told them they didn't want it, noted O'Brien, the political strategist. Those voters are sure to cast a ballot in favor of the sitting senator, he said. If the election goes the same way that constituents were asking them to vote, then they're fine, O'Brien said. But their constituents are going to have to show up. Trump's endorsements of little-known candidates could also end up backfiring on Republicans in the general election, argued Bennion. Democrats could have a leg up in more competitive state Senate districts in which an obscure Trump-backed Republican is on the ballot, she explained. There aren't a lot of very competitive districts in the state of Indiana, but you still wouldn't want to increase the opportunity for a Democrat to win the seat and have less legislative support overall for the GOP down the road, she said. Even races in well-established Republican districts could tighten this year as support for Trump begins to slip in Indiana and across the U.S. In Indiana, Trump was viewed favorably by 42% of Hoosiers and unfavorably by 49%, according to an October survey by North Star Opinion Research on behalf of Independent Indiana. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, February 10th. And the first today is for Linda K. Hughes. Linda K. Pearson Hughes, formerly of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away peacefully on Friday, January 30th, 2026, at her home. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, February 14th, at Sunset Funeral Home at 200 East West Street in Georgetown. Burial will follow at Forest Park Cemetery, and visitation will be held from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Friday, February 13th, at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made in Linda's honor to Shriners Children's at www.shrinerchildrens.com or Hope Community Fellowship at 22035 Mill Road, Georgetown, Illinois, 61846. Phyllis Becker. Phyllis Joan Becker, 93, of Catlin, passed away at 11:03 p.m. Saturday, February 7th, at home. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, February 14th, at the Catlin Church of Christ, with Pastor Chris Lawler officiating. Burial will be in Oak Ridge Cemetery in Catlin, and visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, February 14th, at the church. Memorials may be made to the Fair Haven Foundation, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, or the Shriners Hospital for Children. Bobby Ewell. Bobby J. Ewell, 87, of Danville, died Thursday, February 5th, 2026, at Carl Foundation Hospital. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Tina Prater. Tina Marie Prater, 65, of Danville, died February 6th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services and Crematory, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to turn now to a couple of Danville stories from the News Gazette. And the first one is titled, Local Heroes. Paramedics honored with life-saving awards for pulling unconscious driver from burning vehicle last year. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. When Joe Blue of Danville started in emergency medical services as a cadet at age 16 with Oakwood Ambulance in the 1980s, he remembers a lot of those classes, including first aid and CPR, being taught by the American Red Cross. Now, about 40 years later, and still putting those skills learned along the way into action, Carl Aero Ambulance paramedics Blue and Adam Harris of Cisna Park on Monday received American Red Cross National Life-Saving Awards for their heroic work in saving an unconscious driver in a burning vehicle last year. I know awards from the Red Cross. They don't hand out awards to just hand out awards. So coming from the Red Cross, it's an honor and it means a lot to me. And I'm sure it means a lot to Adam, Blue said. He thanked the American Red Cross and those who nominated them for the Certificate of Extraordinary Personal Action Honors. Blue said they did what any other person they work with at the ambulance station would have done in the same situation. They got recognized for their work, but Blue said the entire EMS team is recognized. Blue joined Aero Ambulance in 2021, having a hiatus working with the Danville Police Department for about 20 years before going back to EMS. Harris joined in 2024, and both provide emergency medical care to patients in the Danville and Champaign-Urbana regions. Harris, who became a paramedic last year after being a 17-year emergency medical technician, also said he was honored and he chose this career to get a better education. He said the recognition means a lot to him. "It's nice to be recognized for what we do and what we did," Harris said. The Illinois Red Cross presented the awards to Blue and Harris at a ceremony at Carl at the Riverfront in Danville. The humanitarian nonprofit honored them for taking swift and courageous actions to rescue the patient. Lynn Ruska, executive director of the Central Illinois chapter of the American Red Cross, said it's a special day when they get to gather and celebrate emergency personnel's work to go above and beyond to help save a life. Since 2018, the American Red Cross has awarded more than 3,400 individuals nationwide with these life-saving awards to those who have saved or sustained a life during an emergency. The awards represent 1,800 lives saved. "Your bravery and compassion and willingness to help someone in need truly are commendable," Ruska said. Ruska told the story of how Blue and Harris received the honors. Around 2:30 a.m. on February 22, 2025, there was a car accident on Grape Creek Road where a vehicle went off the roadway and hit a tree. Blue and Harris heroically saved an unconscious driver from a badly damaged vehicle that then burst into flames. Blue said they were working with the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department and checking on the driver when the car caught on fire. The driver was trapped with his feet under the floorboard. They couldn't get the doors open. Harris had a fire extinguisher to keep the fire back long enough to pull the driver out the window. When they got the driver out and away from the vehicle, the entire car flashed over about 30 seconds later, Blue said. "He's been on similar calls, but nothing that close with a fire," he said. The driver reportedly had minor injuries and was fine a few weeks later. Joe Blue and Adam Harris went above and beyond the call of duty to rescue this patient, added Justin Stalter, director for Carl Aero Ambulance. "Their passion, clinical excellence, and compassion exemplify the values of Aero Ambulance. We're incredibly grateful to count them as members of our team and proud of the recognition they are receiving from the Illinois Red Cross." Next, we have another story by Jennifer Bailey. This one is titled, "Alvin Developer Offering to Take Over New Home Construction Projects." Danville. Taylor Construction and Design of Urbana started construction last year on four new homes on Oak, Seminary, and Franklin Streets. Now, Refit Properties of Alvin is proposing to take over and finish the homes. The Danville City Council's Public Works Committee, at its 6 p.m. meeting today at City Hall, will consider approving a development agreement for Refit Properties to own the properties and finish the homes. The city would convey to the developer, Michael and Austin Refit, the properties at 318 and 324 Oak Street, 205, 207, and 209 West Seminary Street, and 402 Franklin Street for $1. The closing on the properties would occur within 45 days. If the developer fails to construct at least two residential houses before December 31st, the developer reconveys the parcels to the city. "It's the same project," said Danville Community Development Administrator Logan Kronk. The agreement is transferring the properties from Taylor, with Reffitt Properties buying the four homes and finishing them, Kronk said. Taylor Construction has not stated a reason for the move. Walls are up and they just need to be finished, Kronk added about the shelves being up. That's what this will do. The houses are ready for the finishing touches. The homes have some windows and doors installed. They still are planned to be owner-occupied. Reffitt is involved with residential and commercial projects locally. The city also last fall approved Reffitt Construction building the new Friendly Town Classroom at Danville's Lincoln Park. A groundbreaking occurred at 207 West Seminary Street, west of downtown, across from the Danville Art League in July for the home construction to start. At that time, Taylor Construction and design owner Wes Taylor, who owns the business with his wife Kendra, said this was kind of a new venture for them. They are pretty low-key with their construction projects. Haley Seifert with Keller Williams Realty, the real estate center of Illinois, has been working with the development of the new affordable homes. Seifert had met the Taylors, with Wes having the same idea of making the new construction home projects happen. Kronk said nothing is changing with that, as the partnership with new developer Reffitt and Seifert would continue. They have one under contract, Kronk said. Interest remains in the other homes, too. With full City Council approval of the agreement, construction will again pick up speed. Only one new home was built each in 2022 and 2023 in Danville, so the community is excited about the new housing development. The two-bedroom homes were to cost less than $150,000. The new homeowners will also receive a 50% property tax abatement for 5 years through the city. Seifert has said she hopes the projects lead to further development at other locations in the city. And returning to the commercial news from the sports pages and the local roundup column, we have the following items by Marvin Holman. Shaw wins regional title. Danville's Uriah Shaw continued her strong season at the IHSA Mount Zion Girls Wrestling Regional on Saturday. Shaw pinned Robinson's Carrie Watts in 19 seconds in the quarterfinal, beat Champaign Central's Rita Grant by medical forfeit in the semifinals, and pinned St. Joseph Ogden's Ainsley Freeman in 5 minutes 51 seconds in the 125-pound final to go 12-0 for the season. Westville Georgetown Ridge Farm was second as a team in the regional. Kylie Knight, 115, and Addison Briggs, 190, each took first for the Tigers, while Jasmine Bennett, at 135, and McKenna Rudel, at 145, each took third. Oakwood Salt Fork was sixth, with Taylor Owens winning the 155 title, while Kate Walkner was second at 115. And Lainey Ayler was third at 120. The qualifying wrestlers will go to Verdon North MAC for sectional action starting on Friday. And in prep boys basketball, in Chrisman, the Tigers won their 28th game of the season, breaking the school record for wins in a season set by the 1955-56 team on Friday in a win over the Cardinals. Easton Barney had 37 points for Westville, while Matthew Darling had 18 points and Chaz Alvarez and Kipton Apple each had 11. The Tigers will host Schlarman Academy today. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, February 10th, 2026. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.